had to already. Bless God. That'll come. Yep. You know, it's an amazing thing as part of the body of Christ and as God calls us all into his kingdom to see people function and operate and do what God calls them to do and get involved in different things. And we went to Warina, as Kerry mentioned earlier, up here in New Gisborne, which is the aged care facility. I keep going to say old people's home. You're not allowed to say that anymore, are you? Aged care facility. And they invited us up there, which is such an incredible opening that God provided for us. And we've had, you know, dozen or so people come regularly and a couple of new ones come in. And Pat Beerman, who used to come to church here constantly, is up there now, and she comes in and loves it and just gets involved. Some of them are just amazing. And when you sing some of the old hymns, boy, do they belt it out. They know them. It's so good. And then, of course, when the kids got up last week and he's got the... And Kerry's got this little wand thing and she had this little tiara thing on. Oh, and everybody was sort of like in raptures. And it's so good. And God sort of spoke to me this. I was praying about what to do for Warina this year, and we go fortnightly, and I really felt the Holy Spirit impress on me and prompt me to just keep to a specific topic each week. We started with trust last week, you know, and believe, and we'll go into all of just... So we're set for months. We've got so much to share with them. But you know, I wish Margaret was here today. Margaret's a member of our church here, and she's a wonderful, wonderful woman. And she comes along regularly. And I can go up and talk to these people, and hi, and how you going? How was your Christmas? And you know, God bless you, and give them a bit of encouragement and talk to them. But Margaret has this capacity to engage them, and I stand in awe of her because she's got these people just on this interactory level. I'm like, Mark, what do you find to talk about? Well, we just find out what they're interested in. I talk about whatever they, you know. And I'm like, she has got amazing capacity to function on a one-to-one level with every person up there. That's something I wish I had. I'm not that way inclined in that particular environment, I guess. I don't know, it's what it is, but she's just blown me away. And you see their faces light up and you see them just involved. We only take half an hour to sing a few songs and just share for a few minutes and pray. And then we just have a bit of time talking and interacting. But it's an amazing thing to see these people in that environment just light up when Margaret is talking to them. And it's so encouraging. But you know what I see out of that? A fulfillment of God's word. I really do. If we can put up the first slide up there, we are a body. We're the body of Christ. I wasn't aware of this as I grew up, but Paul gives us some pretty amazing, encouraging words in Ephesians 4, where he talks about himself being a prisoner of the Lord. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling you've received. Now, he's writing this to the church, not to the preachers and the teachers or whatever. And he's telling us to walk in humility and gentleness and patience and bearing with one another in love and with diligence. Diligence. Oh, I love that word. It means you just don't give up to preserve the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. Continue on. These writings are amazing. And to each one of us, grace has been given. I love that. Each one of us. You know, when I was brought up in church years ago, we were all basically taught that you were seen and not heard. There were people God had called, and that was it. And no one else did anything except keep the seats warm. And it was pretty sort of regimented, I suppose, in a way. But God set us free from that, amen? And we see today where people have incredible giftings, callings. To each one of us, grace has been given. And I don't know whether we're all aware of it at times. I think sometimes we sell ourselves short. But we have been given a measure of the gift of Christ, every one of us. And this is why the scriptures say, when he ascended on high, he led captivities away and gave captives away and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower parts of the earth? And he who descended is the very one who ascended, talking of the Lord Jesus Christ, above all things, in order to fill, word there, fulfill or complete or bring to completion all things. He had a purpose in what he did. He died on that cross, he was buried, he rose again, and he wants everything fulfilled and complete, and that is the realm of jurisdiction he's functioning in now. How does he doing that? Through you and I. Next slide, Mash. And it was he who gave some to be apostles. Okay, there are some apostles, there are some prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, but they're not there to do the work. They're there to simply help equip the church to do the work. Amen? To equip the saints who then do the work of the ministry, which is the building up, the edifying, or the growing, or the development of the body of Christ until we all reach unity. What's that? Unity? Common unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We've got to grow to know him. That's all it's really, in essence, about. Having a relationship with our Lord Jesus. Amen? And as we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. That frightens me. As we mature to the full measure of the stature of Christ. He didn't turn around and say, well, I'm the Christ, but you guys, you'll always be. No. We're joint heirs, amen. He wants us alongside him. When he left, he said, I'm leaving. Job's yours now. Keep doing what I've been doing. Not only will you do what I've been doing, greater works will you do. We've gone through that a lot lately. And I believe God has left that anointing and empowering with every one of us to fulfill the call and the function of the body of Christ in a realm or some to some capacity. Every one of us make up a different realm and a different facet and aspect of the body of Christ. We're not all multi-gifted, totally gifted, totally talented. And so what God's given me and what he's given Rake, what he's given Darren, what he's given Emma, everybody has a measure, a capacity to function, which in whole represents our Lord Jesus to this world. And it's important we find that and fulfill it. Next slide. We no longer remain children. We're not tossed around by waves and carried around by every wind of teaching and by clever cunning of men and their deceitful schemes. We've got to be walking circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, understanding what the will of the Lord is, the Bible tells us. And there's a lot of things that go on around the world and in the name of Jesus. It's pretty well, I'm not sure it is always in the name of Jesus, but there's a massive amount that is, amen? And so we don't get caught up in the hype and the euphoria of this and that and the other. We need to be grounded in Christ, fully grounded. Amen. He's our foundation. And so we look to him, the author and the finisher of our faith, as Paul wrote in another section. But we speak the truth in love, and we will grow up into Christ himself, who is the head, from whom the whole body is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament and grows and builds itself up in love through the effectual working of each individual part. And the King James thing there says, from whom the whole body is fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies. And I love that word compacted because it makes things functional. Now, I don't know if many of you were out the front when we put that gravel walkway through along the side of the building coming to the door. We poured that loose pebbly gravel stuff there, and I noticed that until it was compacted, it was useless. I remember seeing Shelley and others with their prams trying to plow, and they were getting bogged and, you know, held up in the gravel. The gravel wasn't allowing them to wheel their prams along. And they were lifting it out of the gravel every now and again because it was loose. It wasn't solid. And the word compacting, and I don't know if you've ever seen a compactor at work where they, you know, the little ones you can buy when you put down paving, and you take them along and they vibrate the thing down and make things firm and hard and tighten it together. And that's where the Word of God and the Spirit of God comes into play in our lives when we function as God wants us to. It makes us useful. We're not loose cannons running off here, there, and everywhere where people are getting bogged up in things. We become a solid way of life that people can actually walk on or use to enhance their life. Amen? We're not becoming a snare or a trap or a bogging people down like that pathway used to. Now it's different. It's compacted. You can ride a bike on it. You can push a pram on it. You can do whatever you like. It's now useful. Whereas before, it was a pathway, but it was useless to some degree. It was okay to walk on, but it wasn't that good if you had a set of wheels to push through it. And so the compacting was important in the natural there, and it's important in the spiritual. But it comes about when we function, when we operate, when we do as what God has called us to do. And this is where the tap on the shoulder thing is so important, because you just don't see yourself perhaps doing things that are important. And we don't know how important they will or will not be to someone else's life, and we have no idea what impact it will have on them if we respond. That's the compacting process that builds Christ and builds His life into your life and to others at the same time. It's so important to function as God wants us to. He's given us all the grace to do what He wants us to do. Amen? And I think the times when, like I shared earlier, that I wish I'd responded to God. I have no idea where Aris was spiritually. None at all. When he was a younger man in the church and grew up in the youth group, his singing and his guitar and song leading prowess was amazing. He had an incredible voice. In fact, a lot of his other brothers were professional singers as well. They weren't Christians, but unfortunately they used their talents elsewhere. But Aris used his in the kingdom, and it was just amazing. I don't know what happened after their marriage split, because we lost track of him. And Lek, of course, remained in contact with Lynn, because Lynn grew up together, and we still see Lynn from time to time when they're in Melbourne. They live in Perth. But I heard Aris was in Brisbane, and his son he's a police officer somewhere in the Sunshine Coast. And when I was up there, well, before going up there, I had that feeling, I should go and look up Aris, find out where Aris is and catch up with him. And then while I was in Brisbane, I got the same tap on the shoulder. Oh, I'll catch him next time. I'm really busy this time. I've got this to do and that to do and the other to do. And I shoved the tap on the shoulder aside. You just don't know. You just don't know what God wanted me to do in that place or say or be to him or just encourage him in. I'll never know. Don't ignore the tap on the shoulder. You just don't know what compacting work that's going to do for God in the life of an individual as well as in your own life. I'll never know that one. That's just something I'm working through now. Just, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm repenting. But it's not going to help Aris anymore, is it? Just pray God got someone else that was more obedient than me to get to him before he passed on. But we've got to respond, amen? There is a functionality for every one of us. And you can't all be just, you know, it's really funny, you know. When I grew up in church, everybody that had any aspirations in the church was going to be a preacher. They weren't going to be anything else. But we can't all see ourselves as preachers. I never even saw myself as a preacher. When I went to Bible college, everyone was going to be a preacher except me. Guess who's the only preacher that went through Bible college? None of the other students preaching the gospel. I am. And I was the one that was saying, not me. I'm here to learn the word and I'm out of here. I didn't know what God had in store, but circumstances and life and things happened and got the call of God down the track. We just can't be really too sure. And we just got to know God. We've got to learn to walk with him, hear his voice and respond as we go on. That's the body of Christ in action. Next slide. The body doesn't just consist of one part. Now, he uses an analogy here that I love, which is like our own physical body. And he goes on, he talks about, if the foot shall say, because I'm not a hand, I don't even belong here. What's that got to do with it? We start to get comparative with one another. There's no real need for comparison with anybody else. Oh, I can't talk like Ken. Oh, I can't do what Blake does. I can't do what Darren. I can't do what anyone. No, it's got nothing to do with that. I can't talk to old people the way Margaret does, but boy, I love when Margaret talks to them. It's just such a blessing to me to see that. And that's what we need to have an attitude like. That is so amazing how God has put people here with so many gifts, callings, capacities and talents, and they'll overlap, they'll interact and they'll compact. Amen? They'll make it functional. Bless God for that. Don't compare yourself. I'm not an eye. I can't do it. I can't see the way he sees. I can't hear this. I can't do that. I can't walk there. I can't smell this. I can't sense this. Then forget it. Verse 18, God arranged the members of the body, every one of them according to his design. If they were all one part, wouldn't we look stupid if we were all an ear? Well, I don't think we could walk around too well. We couldn't see anything. We couldn't do anything else. I got a motor sitting in my garage at home, but it's not a car, it's a motor. It's useless as it is. I can't turn it on, I can't start it, I can't make it go anywhere. But if that motor is where it's supposed to be, in the front of a vehicle with everything bolted up and the gearbox and the drivetrain and the ignition electrics working, that motor becomes a functional, usable piece of equipment. And I think a lot of us are like that in the church. We're motors in the shed and we haven't put ourselves in where God can switch us on and make us go. I really believe that there's a functionality God wants us church to get into in the coming weeks, months, and very short time ahead for this world to know Jesus. It's not there so we can be, feel important or feel good. It's got nothing to do with that. It's us saying, God, what can I do to serve you? Doesn't matter how minuscule, minor, or insignificant it seems to you or me, it's what God's doing. He's put us there according to his design. And as it is, there are many parts, toes, feet, hair, whatever, less hair. Doesn't matter. God puts it there for his design. Amen? I love that. We are his workmanship, created after God in Christ Jesus. You know what that word workmanship means if you look it up and literally translate it? We are his little masterpieces. We are his masterpieces. Nothing less than a masterpiece. You know, when an artist creates a masterpiece, it's usually the creme de la creme of his work. But you know, God does that with every one of us. You're a masterpiece. God's got you hanging in a wall of pride. Same with every one of us. Amen? We are his workmanship, masterpieces that he takes a lot of pride in. I love that. I love that. Next slide. And for this reason, he goes on talking a little further on in Ephesians. Since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I would wonder if Paul knew any of us here today could write that letter to us and say, I've heard of your work and your faith in Christ and haven't ceased praying for you and giving thanks for you. I would love to know that that was how it was. But Paul had a prayer and an intercessory heart for the church, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ would give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in your knowledge of Him, not in anything else, just in Him, that the eyes of your understanding of your heart may be enlightened, that you'll know the hope of His calling, the riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints. Next slide. The surpassing greatness of His power to us who believe. And these are in accordance with the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realms. Do you realize that that power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that God wants to work in and through us here? Isn't that incredible? I love that. It's His mighty power that works, and we see the surpassing greatness of His power to us who believe, which is identical to what He used when He raised Christ from the dead, seated Him far above every other rule and authority, power and dominion, every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come, and put everything under His feet and made Him to be the head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Where is everything as far as Christ is concerned? Under His feet. Where's the feet? On the body. Hasn't He called us to something amazing? Yeah, it doesn't mean we walk around with some form of superiority complex and trample things around and become a bit of a pain in the butt to people. We are there, knowing that every other name outside of Christ and every other power and every other dominion has been subjected to the name of Jesus. Therefore, we walk in that authority that He's given us. We become the head, not the tail. You know, I was thinking of this when I was thinking, boy, you know, the Bible tells us to be not unequally yoked. Don't get into partnership with people that have a different vision to what you've got. Don't walk in their light, because your light will dim down. I've made that mistake in my life where I've liaisoned myself business-wise and otherwise with people that haven't had the Christian light and calling that I've had. And it's been a disaster. Why? Because I've had to dim my light down to their level to walk in that partnership. And I wasn't the head. I became the tail. When they barked, I wagged. No good. We have to get into a position where we recognize and realize and know inequality. I've had people talk to me about business deals recently, and I'm going, okay, well, here's my terms. Well, I'm not doing that. Well, then I don't want to know about it. I learned by my mistakes, praise God. I'm no longer dumb. I'm a little bit smarter. He was giving me a bit of a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. And those dumb things I've set aside, and I've gone, okay, God, I feel failed up here. Okay, let's move on, let's move on. And God's honored my commitment to Him. And I now have the audacity and the guts and the tenacity to recognize and realize some of these things are not really God sent, regardless of how blingy and good they look. Wow, what a great scheme, what a great idea, what a great, wow, this will work well. And then I get that tap on the shoulder. Back off, back off. It's not always go and do something good. The tap on the shoulder can be for my good as well. Back off, I back off. And then God shows me what I would have been getting into. And I go, right, well, here's the terms that I will come into this deal on. And I control it and I run it and I take care. Well, in your dreams, it's sorry, but I'm not timming my light to walk in your light because you don't have any. That's an interesting thing, isn't it? I've learned a lot out of that one, I can tell you. It's cost me a lot of money too. You know, I couldn't even begin to think how much, but that was the way it works. Next slide. And for this reason, in Colossians, this is another chapter where Paul prayed for the church and asked that they be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, working worthy in a manner of the Lord, or a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit to every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. I actually wondered when people were sharing earlier with Kerry and others whether I was going to preach today, because it almost, you know, God had, Kerry knew what I had in my heart, not in detail, but she knew the theme. But everyone else that God had got to share was just so amazing, that we would increase in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfast and patience joyously. That's a bit of a challenge, isn't it? But, you know, sometimes we are not steadfast and we don't have patience and joyousness. But we give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. It's all about Him. Giving Him thanks, praising Him, glorifying Him, walking worthy of His calling, and having His light shining and illuminating not only in us but through us to others. Next slide. And of this church, Paul says, I was made a minister according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your benefit. I love that. Paul was there for the others. And if God gives us anything, it's not so we can big note ourselves. It's for your benefit, others' benefit. Amen? I really think we need to get focused on that. We really do. And it's amazing what God has done in so many instances, especially here with Cafe on Market Sunday when we don't have church. People come in, and I believe God has opened us and given that opportunity for their benefit. Amen? It's not so we can get out there and say, hey, try our scones, have our coffee. Oh, aren't we wonderful? No, we're not. We're here as servants of the living God, stewards of what God has given us for the benefit of others. Amen? I love that. It's just such an incredible opportunity. And then it goes on, that I might fully carry out the preaching of the Word of God. And then he talks, I love this scripture. And that is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations. You know, Paul had this amazing revelation that he brought to the church, and I love it. It was hidden all the way through the Old Testament. Nobody could see it. Nobody even had any idea that this was God's purpose or plan. But it's now been revealed to the saints, to whom God willed to make known the riches of this glory, of this mystery among the Gentiles, or amongst even outside of the Jewish realm, which is Christ in you. Christ in you. Christ in you. God's deposit of hope for His glory to be seen and revealed on this planet. Amen? That is so amazing that it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. Not so we can glisten and glitter and shine, but so God's glory can be channeled through us and seen by this world that needs it so desperately. Amen? Now, I don't know, any more on that one? Is there another one, Mash? That's the end of it. I just got a couple of notes that I'll reiterate from here. You know, the church is, it's a body. We've seen that we're not all the same, so it's not a competition. There's no room for comparison or jealousy. There's no area that we need to have where we feel intimidated, inferior, unwanted, or anything like that. If those sort of feelings come into your life, then that is an area of domination that the devil is trying to take over us with. Put it where it belongs. Where are they? Under our feet, amen? There's none of that. None of that. There's no need for any form of that sort of thing. They're one of the devil's greatest forms of lies and deception. But the church needs to be an area of fulfillment, satisfaction, grace in operation, growth, appreciation, maturity, and revealing Christ in us. Every input that we do and participate in is not for our benefit, but it's an expression of Christ in us. It's not the church in us. It's not our ministry in us. It's not our talent in us. It's not our gift in us. And it's not our calling in us. It's Christ in us. It's for Him, amen? Oh, I love that. We are His body that fulfills His call and work. Not us, but Christ in us. And He's put a lot of hope in that. He's put a lot of faith and trust in us to reveal Him into a world that needs Him so desperately. And I love what God said today through everyone that got up and shared and told of their testimonies and experiences, and I know God, in His grace and in His goodness, has a purpose for every one of us to fulfill whatever we can, in whatever capacity and gifting and calling He's placed in our lives. If you got the gift of the gab, gab it for God. So, you know, it's true. Not for yourself. Some people talk for the sake of talking. But if it can be talking for the sake of the kingdom, why not? Absolutely, why not? If we've got a gift of serving, man, there are people that serve out there that blow me away on market Sundays. And serving is a talent. It's a gift. It's a godly given thing. Praise God for that. And I stand in awe of those that do it and that are so involved with people that come into the cafe. Rake and I get out the front and Darren at the barbie. And there's so many people there. We don't often have time to stop and chat and share with them. But I treasure the times that we do. It gets a little quiet sometimes. We had a guy out there singing once, and Rake went up and prayed with him. He said, "What's the best you've ever done at a market?" And this guy's singing away with his guitar open to get a few bucks. What did he say? It was more than double that day than he'd ever had before. See what God can do? Whoa! That young kid was blessed by God because Rake got a tap on the shoulder to go and just pray with him. Bless God. You just don't know what compacting work God is going to do through that which every joint contributes, supplies, and functions in. Father, I thank You for Your word. I thank You for being a wonderful, good, amazing, faithful, gracious, and loving God. You just blow me away, Lord. I stand in awe of You once again, of who You are and Your love for us. And I pray, Father God, that Your word today would challenge us to fulfill the things You want us to fulfill, compacting this church, compacting our lives, compacting other people's lives into a functionality for Your kingdom and for Your glory. I thank You for it, Lord God. I pray for every person in this place. I pray for their lives, Lord, to be effective for Your kingdom. I pray, Lord God, for opportunities to come across their pathway. I pray for taps on their shoulder, Lord, and I pray that we'll hear, listen, and obey. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Darren, thanks.